This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Monday, December 16th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nelly. Here's today's headlines. New eye-popping cost study coming. EJ's rally against 1-3-D draft rules and farm groups fight back. Groundbreaking cost study gets a sequel. A Cal Poly agribusiness professor made waves in the ag community in 2018 when she found regulatory costs had risen nearly 800% in the previous decade. And now Lynn Hamilton is working on a follow-up paper. The Monterey County Farm Bureau commissioned the regional study, and Executive Director Norm Groot expects to see another eye-popping number. Speaking at the California Farm Bureau's annual meeting last week, Groot said Hamilton will likely factor in SGMA, wage increases, new paid leave policies, and the state's controversial ag overtime law, along with a slew of other regulations enacted over the last 7 years. Pesticide groups mobilize on 1-3-D. The Department of Pesticide Regulation is racing to respond to outcry from anti-pesticide advocates over proposed 1-3-D regulations. Last month, the DPR Advisory Committee was so inundated with comments from those groups, it held a follow-up workshop to invest more time for feedback. The draft regulations propose strict new requirements for protecting farm workers from potential exposure. The Pesticide Action Network and its coalition are pushing to apply the more stringent cancer risk threshold to recent regulations that protect all other bystanders. They also want to expand the proposed 100-foot buffer zone and extend the requirements beyond normal work hours. The group is encouraging its members to submit comments criticizing the proposal as inequitable and inadequate, and to take part in DPR's 3 workshops coming next month. SCOTUS grants petition on California Clean Air Act waiver. The Supreme Court is stepping into a dispute between industry groups and the federal government over California's longstanding authority under the Clean Air Act to set its own vehicle emission standards. EPA is planning to grant the state a waiver sometime this week. That, according to multiple news reports, the waiver would give the state the right to ban the sale of gas-powered vehicles by 2035. Well, the High Court granted a petition Friday from the Diamond Alternative Energy, along with energy and agriculture groups, but restricted it to the question of whether other parties can sue over the waiver if they can show that the waiver hurts demand for their products. Other parties that have signed on include the American Petroleum Institute and a handful of state corn and soybean associations, and that would include the Iowa Soybean Association and the Illinois Corn Growers Association. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this.
When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Trump signals support for dock workers as potential January strike looms. President-elect Donald Trump last week signaled support for unionized dock workers' calls to bar automation at East and Gulf Coast ports amid tense labor negotiations that may result in a mid-January strike. Trump, fresh from a meeting with International Longshoremen's Association leaders, defended the union's opposition to investments in automation at docks in a post to Truth Social late Thursday afternoon, saying the amount of money saved is nowhere near the distress, hurt, and harm it causes for American workers. You can read our full report at agripulse.com. Ag groups mobilize to save market relief. Congress faces a Friday deadline to pass new continuing resolution to keep the government funded and to extend the 2018 Farm Bill for yet another year. Over the weekend, farm groups quickly mobilized to demand congressional leaders end a partisan impasse and reach a deal on a package of economic assistance to include in the year-end legislation. The pressure from ag groups threatened to drain Republican support from the legislation if the aid wasn't included. Now take note, the Farm Credit Council joined the appeals on Sunday for an aid package. In a letter to congressional leaders, the council said farm credit institutions, quote, anticipate the pace of loan restructurings to increase heading into what we expect will be a challenging winter-spring loan renewal season. Without additional support from Congress, many producers will have difficulty continuing operations. You can read our full report on the coverage of the negotiations at agripulse.com. Meanwhile, the House Democratic Steering and Policy Committee scheduled to pick a ranking member for the House Ag Committee. The committee's current top Democrat, David Scott of Georgia, being challenged for the position by Jim Costa of California and Angie Craig of Minnesota. Scott has missed a series of meetings with colleagues where Costa and Craig have presented their arguments for getting the Ag Committee post. USDA unlocks more funding to fight screwworm. APHIS is also providing $165 million in emergency funding to protect U.S. livestock from New World screwworm. The U.S. suspended live cattle imports from Mexico last month after the flesh-eating parasite was confirmed in a case near Mexico's southern border. APHIS says the funding will bolster monitoring and domestic preparedness operations as authorities from the U.S., Mexico, and Central American governments attempt to create a protective barrier in the south of Mexico. USDA providing an extra 3 million electronic tags to producers. USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service plans to give states an additional 3 million electronic identification tags needed to comply with a new animal disease traceability rule in fiscal 2025. Those new tags come on top of the $8 million the agency provided to producers during the last fiscal year. The announcement comes after producer groups and lawmakers voiced concern about the cost producers and some states would have to pay for the tags necessary to comply with the regulation. Senator Kevin Cramer of North Dakota warned USDA officials in a letter in October that while 300,000 tags would be needed by North Dakota ranchers under the rule, the agency is only committed providing 116,000. The rule that went into effect November 5th requires cattle and bison to have EID tags if being moved across state lines. Well, here's today's final word. I'm personally going to start flying out there. That Kaylee Takaz Buller, president and CEO of the National Oilseed Processors Association. Buller told the AgriPulse staff her industry had never engaged directly with the California Air Resources Board before this year when it began considering a vegetable oil cap for biofuels in the low carbon fuel standard. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Monday, December 16th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Allen.